The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. You must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
All right, it's the final week of the NFL regular season, and I'm proud to bring on to the BS Report our weekly guest on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, who also happens to be the winner of my 2009 West Coast Fantasy League. His first football fantasy league title ever. Right, Cousin Sal?
This is it, buddy. I can't believe it. It feels so good. It really does.
Would you rank this ahead of the Rangers winning in 1994 and the Red Sox winning in 2004, or like on par with those two?
I didn't care about any of those two things. So, yeah, this is way ahead of that. This is way ahead. And
How many?
I need to thank, because I honestly, it was about week 8 or 9, I made a trade. I gave you Wes Welker and basically got the terrible, truly terrible Roy Williams and Jonathan Stewart, who you weren't starting, in return for Wes Welker. And he made all the difference this week.
He had like 200 and something yards.
28 points. Yeah, 28.2 points or something.
Well, this is why I'm thinking of retiring from fantasy football, because the difference makers in week 16 were Jonathan Stewart and Jerome Harrison. I think that's it for me.
You love it.
Peyton Manning plays a half.
Too. Honestly, it's like the same thing as, you know, you don't get that angry after the Red Sox blow the season, right? Because after they won,
right?
I don't know. I know it's just fantasy, but I'm like, I don't really care. I'm not going to get as angry if I lose in fantasy anymore because I have a title now.
Well, and also, it's not as fun to win, I think, as it is horrible to lose.
Mm-hmm.
In fantasy.
Right.
Like, for instance, so last night came down. Sidney Rice basically needed 21 points, and you lose.
Right.
So the Vikings charge back. Rice catches the touchdown at the end of the fourth quarter, goes into OT. Now, all of a sudden, you're holding the trophy in your hands, basically. And now there's this fighting, punching chance that Sidney Rice might catch a 54-yard touchdown to cost you the title.
Right.
And the Vikings get the ball.
Vikings, please cross midfield. All you have to do is cross midfield, and I'm good if they win.
So they throw the screen to Peterson. He gets to, like, the 35. So now he's in Sidney Rice touchdown distance, and then the ball gets poked out. Bears touchdown. Two plays later, you win the title. That was a nice way to win it.
That's awesome. It really is. And, like, what adds to it is, in our stupid league, I came up with this rule where the winner gets to vote any team out, you know?
Right.
And before the game, I think this is a real ballsy move. I said to my opponent in the finals, Paul John and Jamie, they share a team, I said, if I win, I'm voting you guys out, which obviously puts a target on my back. You know, like,
right.
I'll be like, well, if we win, we'll vote you out. And rest assured, lo and behold, I won, and now they're gone.
You know what it reminded me of, and I hope it now in the future gets mentioned in the same conversation, is when Larry Bird, when he walked into the first 3-point contest locker room in 1986 and asked which one of you guys is playing for second.
Really?
And everybody was rattled, and then the legend went on to win the 3-point shootout. But it reminded me of shades of that, in my opinion.
But it's even ballsier, I think, because I love fantasy football. So for me to put myself, like, I was really, like, I was willing to get voted out. That's how much confidence I had in this final game. It's like if you said, all right, if I don't win this, then I'm not watching next season of The Bachelorette. I mean, you love The Bachelorette. For you,
yeah,
to
I would.
That
I
off,
would never risk that, though.
You couldn't do it, yeah.
No, I couldn't take a risk like that. Well, explain to everybody why you won. Who was your first-round pick?
First-round pick was D'Angelo Williams.
Okay, he kind of sucked, right?
I picked fifth overall.
He wasn't that great.
He wasn't that great. He wasn't a bust, but he had a couple of big games. And the best thing he did was to become fully injured in week 16 so that I could start Stewart and not have to worry about them splitting carries.
You made an interesting – I traded you Ahmad Bradshaw and Jonathan Stewart, and you gave me Wes Welker and No'Shawn Moreno's backup and then somebody else. Basically, we were solving each other's platoon problems, and I got Wes Welker out of it. And it was a big risk on your part, but when you have a platoon, you're basically just rooting for one of the two guys to get hurt. yeah. finally happens for you going into week 16 and you win the title because of it. So smart trade, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But who was your best player?
My best player, well, Brandon Jacobs was my second round pick, and he was just awful. He was absolutely awful. And
right.
I had a really good quartet of wide receivers going in. I had Vincent and Deshaun, the Jackson two. And then I had Welker for most of the season, and I had, I think my MVP is Dallas Clark, really.
Right.
And I got, Donovan McNabb as my quarterback somewhere around the seventh round or something, so.
So.
You know how it's all luck. It's
well, that brings me to my point. You basically whiffed on your first two picks and you won our league. The same thing happened last year.
Yeah.
It comes down to those rounds 3 through 7. That's when you win the drafts. Deshaun Jackson now, I think if the draft is done over again, is a top 10 or 11, 12
sure.
pick maybe.
Exactly.
Vincent Jackson, we'd all had him, I think, at this point, or at least thought about having him. He's one of those potential guys, and then he reaches his potential.
Right.
But, yeah, it was good.
Look,
but
if you don't have the Manning-Painter combo, you're screwed. You just have to be smart about things.
Well, are you ready now to concede my thing that we should play fantasy throughout the regular season and then redraft for the playoffs so the Peyton Manning thing never happens again? That's a terrible way to lose a title.
Well, but then you still have to week your last regular season. What would you do? You just would scrap the last 2 weeks or what?
No, you go through. Every week counts. But so you have regular season money, and then heading into the playoffs, you get to keep six guys, and then you draft the guys who didn't make the playoffs, you draft guys from their teams. Guy in first place gets first pick. You don't do snake fashion. So if I'm first pick and the guy in Drew Brees didn't make the playoffs, I take Drew Brees. That's my bonus prize. But then there's some skill. You're trying to guess who's going to last in the playoffs and all that stuff. Just seems like a better way to do it.
I don't know who you would take in the playoffs, though. Like, what's a good – like, so Peyton Manning wouldn't be a good pick because they have a bye and they might – right? I can't even tell.
You'd probably be better off taking the Vikings.
Ray Rice would be maybe the best playoff fantasy player.
You'd want a 3-seed or a 4-seed, I would think. So you'd want maybe Larry Fitzgerald. You might get four games out of Larry Fitzgerald.
They have
but
a home game and then hopefully.
I just think you split it up and regular season's worth half and then the playoff side's worth the half and then fantasy goes 21 weeks instead of, my season was over after week 11.
Yeah.
So how's that fun? So I get to enjoy fantasy for 11 weeks?
I don't care about playoffs or anything like that.
You just don't like change.
Yeah.
Well, now that you won.
Thank you again, though. Thank you for Jonathan Stewart.
Listen, it was a good trade for me. I got Wes Welker. The guy's the top eight
receiver.
I'm not
blaming you. I'm going to eat a lunch or something. It's good.
No, you don't owe me anything. I'm happy you won.
Worked out.
And also, you beat the guys who callously voted out one of our friends last time.
That's right. That's right.
And now the
they are really upset. There's a heated email battle. By the way, like whether I'm going to vote them out or not, they're really not. Now they're dragging my name through the mud and everything.
Yeah, they did.
Not a smart thing to do.
They went the route that I went last year, where they just start shooting from the hip.
Yeah.
And hope that you almost gain the person's respect that you don't care you're going to get voted out.
Right. The smart thing to do is to tell the guy you don't have the guts to vote me out. And then
it's like wrestling. All right. So are we going to do the vote out this year?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I thought it was horrible last year. I hated it.
Well, maybe I'll do it before the actual draft so we don't have that that uncomfortableness at the draft itself.
So the draft isn't ruined this year, you mean?
Yeah. Oh, it ruined. Like, you cared about the guy that was getting voted out.
Well, I just thought it put a pall over the night. It was tense. It was uncomfortable. He had to, like, pack his stuff and leave. It was sad.
I might have ruined this league with the stupid voting out stuff, though.
When he left, it reminded me of growing up watching The Incredible Hulk when it never worked out for David Banner and he had to hitchhike at the end and they played the sad music. That's what it was like watching him leave.
Slaps the backpack on and he's gone.
All right, week 17
well,
lines.
Brings me to this. This is week 17. Now the winner of our picks contest gets to smack the loser with a 6 foot sub. I don't know. No, not a 6 foot sub. A foot long sub.
Foot long sub. Yeah.
Foot long sub, and you're winning 9 weeks to 7.
I won the regular season title for whatever that's worth.
You did, yeah.
Yeah.
But we're going through the playoffs.
It's like when the Pats won the AFC East division title and they put the banner up, but it doesn't really mean anything.
And you played all your guys. Well, that's the thing. Are you going to be playing all your guys this week?
I'm playing all my guys. I actually looked at the matchups this week to make sure that I wasn't, like, for instance, the Jets-Bengals game. The Bengals really don't have any reason to play unless they care about 3-seed versus 4-seed, but
this is a terrible week. Like, next year, we shouldn't even count this week. And I'm not saying that because I was off by 7 and 8 points on 3 or 4 games.
I did notice that we haven't had a week like this, I don't think, the whole season where and maybe I'm wrong, but just when I wrote down what I thought the lines would be, it seems like there's a lot of home dogs. I don't remember a week where it's like half the slate is basically home dogs. So let's go through it.
All right, well, I'm going to ask you to do one thing, to be honest, because you're going to see how Vegas skews these lines, and then you're going to be like, well, if they did this with this line, then they're going to do the same with it. But just really try to be honest. Give it what you were going to give it anyway, because that's what I had to do.
Well, I will tell you that as I was guessing the lines, and I did it, we're doing the lines based on Sunday night, right?
That was my mindset. Right now.
What do you mean?
On what it is now.
Oh, not what it was on. Right. I mean, I'm sorry, after Monday night. So,
right.
Yeah, so the Minnesota game gets taken into account, all that stuff. Yeah, yeah. I'm in for that.
Okay, let's start it off. San Fran at St. Louis.
I had San Fran by 9.5 for this one.
All right, we split this because it's 7.5, and I said 8.5.
No, you win it then.
The Rams are really, really.
You won that. You won that one.
Sweet trick. Who did?
You did.
Oh, I did. Yeah. Oh yeah. Thought we were a point off each.
I gotta say that line seems a little high because can't the Rams clinch the number one pick here? Or maybe they've already clinched it.
Yeah, they'd be dumb to screw it up.
They've
got that crazy foreign Nebraskan lineman that's waiting to put on a jersey.
Jacqueline.
Yes.
Can you see if the Rams have clinched the number one pick or not? I'm just curious. Thank you. Okay.
This is really big for Joe Mead right now. If Jacqueline comes back with this.
Well, I didn't want to tell people, but you know how the Bulls fire their coaches on Christmas Eve? I fired Joe Mead on Christmas Eve. I called him at 7:30 at night, right as he was about to like dip into his first glass eggnog, and I canned him. Jacqueline's in charge now.
And that wasn't the worst news he heard all day, because Charlie Weiss is seriously being considered as the coach's Buffalo Bills.
That would be one of the 5 funniest random sports things that's happened this decade. If anybody
great?
Who is – Joe Mead has to be the only Notre Dame Buffalo Bills fan, right, on the planet?
Yeah.
And he hates Charlie Weiss, and then Charlie Weiss now takes over the Bills. Oh, God, I hope it happens.
Back. Is he doing your taxes too, Joe Mead? What else is he going to do?
Please, Lord, please let that happen. We didn't really fire Joe
Mead. And if Jacqueline honestly comes back with that information, we'll give her 3.5 hours if she could do it.
I do think that she could learn a little. Joe Mead could learn a little from Jacqueline and her excitedness at figuring this out for us.
Right. All right, Indy at Buffalo. There's no line. For some reason, I can't find a line on this game.
I had Buffalo by 3.
I had Buffalo by 3 also.
And do you want to give your quick take on that? Indy packing it in, 14-0. Everyone who has any sort of sports forum has to rant about
this.
Well,
here's what
I'll
just say, because I know you're right, it's annoying. But first of all, let me just say, a team isn't hungrier to knock out the quarterback in the second half than they are in the first half. So if you want to save Manning from injury, he shouldn't play the whole game. You know, he doesn't need to play the first half, and it shouldn't matter what they do on the kickoff return in the second half, whether he comes out either, all right?
Right.
That being said, Peyton Manning is one of the guys that's not going to get hurt out there. He lines up in shotgun. He takes a 2-step drop and then finds, like, a wide receiver open 17 yards down the field. It'd be hard to get him. It really would. So if you got an undefeated thing going, I say let him play.
What did you think of my theory that they should have played the reserves in the first half and then the second half played the starters?
Oh, interesting. Wow.
You like that? So then,
I like it, but why? So I just want to know what the policy is. Like, why are they saving him from injury, or this Painter guy has to get his reps in? Like, they're not going anywhere if Peyton Manning gets hurt. What's the sense?
We can all agree that the decision they made was the wrong one. Now you could say either don't play him, or play him in the second half when it actually means something. You might be able to sneak out the win. I think it would have been cool if they announced during the week, listen, we're playing our reserves in the first half. We're going to play them one half in the second half if the game's close. If the reserves can't keep it close, then we'll just play them the whole game. But just know that if that game's close, we're playing our starters in the second half. I think it would have been cool. It would have been fun to watch.
I like that, too. I mean, let's say the Colts win the Super Bowl now and they lose because they took, you know, they put Curtis Painter in the third quarter. Like, I think it's something they'll look back on and regret. And I love, we had a lot of fun with Jim Sorgi being on placed on injured reserve.
With who?
With Jim Sorgi, who's on injured reserve.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The backup quarterback who does nothing all year.
Yeah, it's his one moment.
You know, these clipboard injuries, forget concussions. They really need to look into this as a league-wide policy.
Well, I'd like to admit something. I think I was wrong. I hate admitting I was wrong. But I said, like, you know, I think we talked about this and about how, you know, I think the Pats, in retrospect, that there were some lessons to be learned from that 19-0 and getting worn down as the season went along. And I said that, you know, the Colts, their goal should be to win the Super Bowl. The worst thing happened, I didn't think this would happen, is this thing has become such a distraction. I think it's a bad thing.
Yeah. And if Manning got hurt during that game, obviously nothing trumps that. Then that would be your answer. You just don't do it ever again. But you had a lousy feeling, right? Wasn't it a lousy, as a football fan, you had a lousy feeling inside you. The crowd is booing. The Jets are going to make the playoffs because the Curtis Painter is in. It's just lousy. I don't
yeah, there had to have been a better solution than what they did. And I really do think that it's now superseded the first 14 games. Their fans are so mad. I mean, did you read about the Colts GM? He had to, like, end his radio show early last night.
Really?
It's crazy. Yeah, they have so many angry calls that they basically just had to end the show.
Wow.
The fans are like, you can't even believe the emails I'm getting. Like, people are like, I never want to root for this team again. I'm completely betrayed. It's the worst thing anybody's ever done to me as a sports fan. Like, people are really upset.
In general, I say the fan, you can't go by what the fans want, because then you'll be going for it on 4th and 8 at your own 25 every time, you know. But
yeah,
but I think they have a point. I really do. I mean, there's something special about being undefeated, and they have the Super Bowl already. So
somebody made a great point. Would Belichick have ever done that? Like, say what you want about Belichick, good or bad, but if you're a competitor and you care about history and all that stuff, would you have rolled over the way that the Colts did? No. I mean, maybe you just don't play the starters the whole game, but at least prepare your fans for that.
Right.
You can't do the half-assed, well, let's see if it's – did we get the kid? No, we didn't. All right, guys, come out. Hey, it was just terrible.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, so no line there. Giants at Minnesota.
Can I interrupt first with the Rams information?
Yes.
The Rams are 1-14, but the Lions are 2-13. It's still not decided. The first tiebreaker is strength of schedule. And their strength of schedule is almost identical. And then it goes to head-to-head, and the Rams have beaten the Lions. So
right.
The Rams
so
still need to lose.
That line should be 10, that Rams line. Why would they want to win that game? Why would you want to win a game that you could lose out on your chance to get this guy?
Too. Will you marry me, Jacqueline?
You're already married.
Spectacular.
You can't.
How did you do that?
Listen, I hope Joe Mead's taking notes. That's all I'm going to say.
That was really great.
Yeah,
the Rams didn't play the Lions this year, though, did they?
Yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah, they beat them.
Yeah, that was
the
real win.
The Rams beat the Lions, so they. Oh, that's why it's. Okay, so it wouldn't be. It would be head to head, right?
Yeah.
Head to head is the second tiebreaker.
Oh, it's the second one. Wow.
First is strength of schedule, and they're within a point, you know, percentage points of each other in strength of schedule.
That's pretty stupid that head to head isn't the first tiebreaker for everything.
Yeah. Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah. All right. Let's keep
all
going.
Right. Nice work, Jacqueline.
Good job.
Very good. Giants at Minnesota. What happened to both of these teams?
The Giants game was perplexing. Although maybe Carolina's. We talked about this at Jimmy's house on Sunday. Like, you know, DeLome got out for some. DeLome got knocked out, and for some reason, we all wrote the Panthers off. And maybe that was the greatest thing that ever happened to them.
Right.
I'm going to say
it's nice when you can go into a game not having to worry about throwing 4 interceptions. Like, only 2 is going to be your worst. You know?
I can't see this line being higher than 8. I'm going to say Minnesota by 8.
I said 8 also. It's 8.5. So I have 2. You have 1.
I'll tell you what happened to the Vikings, and I didn't really think about this fully until I was watching last night. They just – every team has like 7 or 8 really good guys.
Mm.
And they lost half of those guys. You know?
Yeah.
They lost their middle linebacker. Percy Harvin hasn't been the same for like 3 weeks. They lost lost one of the Williams yesterday, and then the left tackle is like falling apart. And the left tackle was one of their best players.
Yeah.
And now it's just like a Section 8, basically. So they're just – I don't think they have the same kind of weapons.
I'm telling you, there's a scenario where the Cowboys could play the Vikings. My Cowboys play the Vikings in the first round, and that is what I'm rooting for. I know it never works out, like whatever you want to root for,
yeah.
You shouldn't have, but I want to go there. That's where I want to go. I want to go to Minnesota in the first round. Even better than a home game, I think. I mean, Cutler threw 4 touchdown passes against them.
And should have had like 6 because he overthrew a couple too.
Yeah.
He had wide open guys that whole game.
That team and the Saints are they're not impressive anymore.
Well, I don't know what happened to the Saints, but it seemed like the worst thing that could happen to them was winning that Patriots game the way they did. It sent them into some sort of weird tailspin that's inexplicable.
Let me tell you, like I walked away. I only try to quit gambling like 4 times a season, and it really killed me last week. Like, I don't think a 14-point favorite has lost all year until the Broncos lost to the Raiders 2 weeks ago, and then the Saints lost to the Bucks this week, and I had them both on money line parlays, and just devastating. What happens to the Saints? They're embarrassed by Dallas, and they can't beat the cruddy Bucks.
You and I need a strong playoff, so I'm just going to leave it at that.
NFL playoffs?
We need a strong NFL playoffs.
All right, Jacksonville or Cleveland?
Wow, you said you were kind of resigned by how disgusted you were by this game. I'm going to say I love Cleveland, and I think the line is Jacksonville by 3.
All right, you get that. I said Jacksonville by 4.5. Cleveland is favored by 1.
That's very fair. They're playing well. I like them.
Really?
Yeah, they're playing hard for Mangini. Who would have thought?
I guess so, but Jacksonville was in the driver's seat for a wild card spot, and now they're an underdog to the Browns.
They've gotten demolished the last 2 games.
Yeah. All right, 2 lines that are not up yet, Pittsburgh at Miami, for some reason not up.
So these don't even count?
What's that?
These don't even count for our thing?
No, I can't find a line on them. And New Orleans at Carolina.
Oh, no.
Which New Orleans is going to – oh, no, they clinched, right? They have the 1 seed now?
I had for Pittsburgh-Miami, I had Pittsburgh by 1. I'm sorry, 1.5.
I had Pitt by 3, and I had New Orleans by 7, but that'll be – I don't even know what that'll be.
Is it New Orleans at Carolina?
They're at Carolina.
Yeah, I'm going to say 6.5 for that one.
Yeah, it's a 7.
I like Carolina in that. See, the home dogs look strong this week. This looks like a week. You just take all the home dogs and hope to go 6-2.
All right, here's an interesting one. New England at Houston.
Yeah, this is a tough one because the Pats might have something to play for, or they might not. It depends. Do they want to go to San Diego in round 2, or do they want to go to Indianapolis in round 2? What would you want to do?
I would want to go to San Diego.
Because we have the history against them?
But let me tell you something. I think there needs to be more incentive for getting a 3 versus a 4 seed. Because it seems like Cincinnati's going to sit all their starters against the Jets Sunday night. I have a feeling the Patriots are going to do the same against Houston. Don't you think there should be some, I don't know if it's a case of Juju pets or what, but something, maybe you get to pick your opponent if you're the 3rd seed.
I was thinking the same thing. I think that's, I'm for that in every sport. I want more picking of opponents. They should learn from MTV's Real World Road Rules Challenge. You want the drama of somebody picking somebody else and the other guy saying, oh, you picked me? You think you can beat me?
Yeah.
But that's just fun. It makes sports more fun. We should be thinking of ideas that make sports more fun.
Right. And the Patriots should want to play the Chargers more than the Colts, I think.
Well, I'm worried about this because, I still think they want to get out of this regular season with Brady not taking another hit on those ribs. I'm going to say Texans by 3.
All right, you get this because I was off 8 points on this line. I said it's a pick, and it's Texans by 8.
Whoa.
I know, that's insane.
So they must think
they're going to sit most of their guys.
Well, he does have the history of doing it. If it's not a meaningful game in any way, he'll sit everybody.
Yeah.
Or at least most of the people that matter.
Very small chance of making the playoffs, the Texans do. But
I'll put it this way. If Welker plays even a quarter in this game, I'd be bummed out.
Really?
Because that guy's taking a punishment this year. Just get him healthy for round 1. And I wouldn't put Brady in a position where he gets hit even once.
All right, Atlanta, Tampa Bay.
I like the way Tampa's playing.
Oh, I love it too. I'm so proud of that team.
Except for the part where they cost us money every week.
Yeah.
I'm going
to
say Atlanta by
4. Decided to turn it on.
Atlanta by 4.
All right, I said 3 and it's 3. So
oh.
I got that one exactly. Huh. So right now it's 3-2-3 going into the last early Sunday game, which is Chicago at Detroit.
Chicago by 6.
I said 4 and it's 3.
What?
I know. It's another team that can't win at Detroit.
Well, I mean, and plus the Bears actually look pretty good. That's stupid. They'll win by at least a touchdown.
That's a dumb one. That's dumb. All right.
That's the only home dog I
went to. Washington at San Diego.
Washington, San Diego. San Diego playing for nothing.
0, yeah.
So I'm going to say San Diego by 6.
Wow. All right. I said... Oh, you know what? You get that. I said 7, and it's 4. Only 4.
Yeah, if we've learned anything with the course of NFL history is that you want to pick against a team in week 17 that's about to fire their coach.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's true.
I don't know what the success rate of that is, but I'm going to say it's about 98%.
Are we going to have the Chargers on a teaser?
Those players want to go home. They don't want the coach to come back. They're not invested in the game.
Wow. We're going to actually have to reground on Billy Joe Tolliver, whoever their backup is right now. Unbelievable. Hey, can we talk about real quick about the forward lateral rule for a quarterback?
Oh, yeah. We went crazy about this on Sunday.
Well, on Christmas Day Eve, Rivers, I was watching him closely because that's when my fantasy opponent has his quarterback. He's basically got his heel behind the line. The rest of his body and the ball are completely over the line, and then he throws a touchdown to Gates and it counts because that's the rule now. Your whole body has to be as long as part of your body is behind the line, it's legit. And the same thing happened with Alex Smith. Like, right? He's rolling right. My 4-year-old son could have scored running it in, could have ran it in, and he decides to pass, and he was way over the line, and they called it legit. I mean, it didn't make any sense.
I want to see, it would be tough, but if there's some way for a quarterback to dive forward and be completely horizontal and be 5 feet over the line but have, like, the tip of his shoe, and then he flips it forward, and that would still be a legal forward pass? I don't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
That's a good idea. Yeah, I would like to see that. I think, like, I'll do one that they should do. You should get a quarterback or just, like a reserve player with a giant ass. It could be, like, if the Kardashians could breed some guy to become quarterback, and he just runs, and just his ass is behind the line of scrimmage, and he runs along the line of scrimmage and drives teams crazy and just throws it over the linebacker for a touchdown every time. That would be a nice specialist to have.
I think, didn't Byron Leftwich try that or no?
Not
counting him?
There is Byron Leftwich.
That was one of the interesting points we discussed on Sunday. Another one that Corolla brought up, you know, they keep showing that drunk driving ad.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it only white males who get arrested in the drunk driving ad? Just a parade of white males.
Yeah.
For some reason, the political correctness doesn't extend to drunk driving ads. They just target the white males. Jacqueline, why do you think that's true?
I think that hits too close to home for Corolla.
Jacqueline, why isn't there a woman in the drunk driving ads?
I don't know. I don't watch commercials. I just fast forward.
Good cop out. I liked it.
See, I like that more about her than Joe Me too. She doesn't like commercials.
Corolla also had a great point about whenever somebody gets hurt and the announcers have to do that's a tough guy for them to lose.
Oh, right.
That's a key guy. They do not want to lose him. That's a huge blow to them. And he was saying that it should be some sort of zero-sum game thing where every time you say that, you then have to say the opposite if it's not a tough guy for them to lose.
Right.
So if, like, the seven-string defensive back gets hurt on a special teams play and they have to bring the card out for him, the announcer would then have to say, that's not a tough guy for them to lose. It's an easy guy for them to lose, actually. He's very expendable. And that would have to then offset the other times that everybody else was a tough guy to lose. I thought that was interesting.
They've been looking forward to losing that guy, actually. In fact, they considered playing with just 10 guys.
They couldn't wait till that point made up for the fact that for the fifth time this season, Carolla had to do his rant about how people can have sex behind bars and procreate serial killers. Then that puts their DNA back in the population, and we need to kill these guys. I think we've heard that 5 of the 16 weeks.
Yeah. He's good. Yeah, we should actually have a rant count of and see which ones go over and under.
Carolla football karaoke.
Yeah. All right, that's something Jacqueline can do next year.
Okay.
Baltimore at Oakland.
That's a big one, huh?
Well, this is it. Baltimore, and you know, that was my big preseason bet, Baltimore over 8.5 wins. So here they are, 8-7 at Oakland. But Oakland screws everyone up, so
they were bad last week. I'm going to say Baltimore by 6.
Oh no, I said 11.5, and it's 10.5.
Really?
So I get that one. Yep. Yeah, I mean that.
How many times are people going to give double figures?
They did lose by 2 touchdowns to Cleveland or something close to that, didn't they?
How many times are they? Raiders going to cover these double figures games.
Yeah. That's, I don't know.
I don't agree with that one.
I want to see Ray Lewis and Tom Cable in a lumberjack match. That would be better for me. Have Gus Johnson call it for CBS.
I got a tweet. Somebody tweeted that they read a headline that Tom Cable pushed Jamarcus Russell under the bus, and they thought he had actually pushed him under the bus because Tom – and the point is that Tom Cable obviously is crazier than we realize because this guy actually just saw the headline and thought he actually got pushed under the bus by Tom Cable.
Wait a minute. Is this a real bus or is Jerome Bettis involved or is this just a – did he say something?
What's our scorecard right now?
All right. Right now it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 2. I have 5. You have 4.
Oh, this is dramatic.
4 games left. Green Bay at Arizona. Again, this is all positioning. I guess Arizona could get as high as a 2 unless Minnesota wins early in the day, which they probably will.
Well, this one's easy because it's either 3 or 3.5, and I'm going to say Arizona by 3.
What'd you say?
Arizona by 3.
I said 3 also, and it's 3.5.
Ah!
All right, and this next one I picked exactly, so
don't put, you shouldn't tell me that. You put pressure on me.
All right, I'm just saying.
Yeah? What is it?
Kansas City at Denver. Well, I'm gonna let you guess. Otherwise, it's too easy if I tell you and then you guess.
Kansas City at Denver.
Yeah.
Denver by 11.
Denver by 13.
Ow! That was my other guess.
4, 5, 6, 7.
No, I can still tie it.
All right, 7-5. I think you are going to tie it. Because I misfired on...
Hey, you can't tell me.
All right, okay. Tennessee at Seattle.
Tennessee by 3.5.
Unbelievable. I said 3, and it's 5.5.
Yes.
So you get that one.
All right.
And the last one, you're going to get it. So, Cincinnati at the Jets.
Oh, yeah. Jets by... 8.5.
I really should lie here, but I said 8, and it's 10. So you get it, and you force a tie.
A push. So now we're 9-7-1 for the season.
Can't believe it. Yeah, you're 9-7-1, and basically you need one more win to win this thing, right?
Right.
No, because if you're 10-10-1, you would tie.
Yeah, so I need one to tie.
You need 1.5 wins out of the next 4.
America loses with a tie.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I guess so now beat each other.
We have to talk to the Subway people about sponsoring the opening integration of Jimmy Kimmel Live for one of us to beat the hell out of the other with a sub presented by Subway. Funny, Subway frowned on it. There's like a bad.
Can they?
It was a bad, a violent use of their product that didn't represent it properly or something.
I think it's a different way to go. Say you make a durable sandwich and like just make something that won't break no matter how many times you hit me or I hit you, whatever.
Well, Jared kind of fit the last generation. I think people hitting other people with subs is really a microcosm of the new generation. It's a more physical in your face generation. I got one last thing to discuss. You know, your son loves Star Wars, so my daughter wanted to watch Star Wars because she loves your son.
Yeah.
That is a slow movie.
Which one? The first one?
The first one, which is now called Star Wars 4 New Hope, even though it was the first one, which I think is confusing
it is
in
slow,
itself.
Right?
That first 20 minutes is about as slow as it gets.
Yeah, and then they deal with the aunt and the uncle, like you really couldn't care. It's really just three scenes with lightsabers that make that for kids.
C-3PO and R2-D2 in the desert, you think it's going to end, and it doesn't end, and then they're still, no, I'm going to go this way, you go that way. I was out. And 20 minutes in, I was like, all right, I can't take it. And she was out. She's like outside playing at it with her little razor cycle, whatever that thing's called, and that was it. So I don't think it's going to take. And I don't understand how it took with your son with the way that, like, for instance, my kid's like Wally right now.
Yeah.
Wally's got stuff going on constantly, and things are moving, and weird sound effects, and it's like just this overload on your senses. And then Star Wars is like the opposite.
But they don't even speak in Wally for the first half hour, right, or something?
Right. For some reason, my kids like it.
Like,
we'll say one thing.
I would love my son to switch gears. He got thrown out of a soccer game because he was taunting the other team with lightsabers after the goal.
I love that.
Not the way to go.
I will say Carrie Fisher, I think, historically is now is underrated in the looks department. Kind of good looking for late 70s.
Yeah.
Never gets mentioned right. With Linda Carter and Farrah Fawcett, all those from that era.
Yeah, she was good.
You know what I'm saying? So you're still on hiatus from Jimmy Kimmel Live.
That's it, yeah. I have a bunch of bowl games to watch, and I don't know. What else are we going to do?
Do you have a bowl game pick for us?
I will. You know what? Temple over UCLA today. That's what I'm going to say.
Wow. What bowl is that?
That's an early week. That's the Vagisil CarQuest Bowl.
That's not the Chick-fil-A persona non grata bowl?
Yeah. Temple plus 4.5.
All right. We'll talk to you in 2010. Cousin South, thanks for being the Sober Fresh Tech Hotline. All right. Bye-bye. Just wanted to mention, because it's the final week of December 2009, thanks for the support in the podcast. If you want to help us out, subscribe on iTunes. That helps us for some reason. It enables us to do a variety of things, right, Jacqueline? We can point to how many subscriptions we have and entice advertisers. What else can we do with subscriptions?
Well, not only what we can do, but it benefits the user because then you never have to look for it. Every time you open up iTunes, it downloads a new one for you. You can set it to automatically sync to your iPod. So the benefits, it's a win-win for everybody.
It's apparently good. Look, you do what you want. If you don't want to help me, that's fine. After 3 years of free podcasts, if you don't want to help, you do what you want. It's your conscience. All I'm asking is for a subscribe. Just click the subscribe. Do it for me. We'll be back tomorrow. Rick Bucher, Mark Stein, the three-man pod, the BS Report. Until then.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.